Welcome to On Topic Retro, episode 42. I'm John Cummins. Joining me tonight is Sam Wagers, Adam Caparello, and Bozo. It's kind of a returning crew of sorts. I was going to make some notes, and I grabbed a template to make these. And already on the template was the was Sam and Bozo, because they did the... what did we do? Did we do F-Zero or...
Yeah, F-Zero.
Yeah, that was F-Zero.
Yeah. You guys were already there, so I just had to add Adam in, and we were set to go. But we're not talking F-Zero tonight. We're talking Spanky's Quest. This is a fun little game about a monkey, and it's very unusual. I think this is one of those games that kind of, whenever I posted it, I didn't know if I was going to get a lot of interaction or if I was going to get three guys play it, and that's seems like it was the latter.
Yeah,
didn't really have a whole lot of have a lot of interest in it, but I thought it was fun, so we are going to talk about it. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing good.
We're
splendid.
I think we're up late and we're tired, so. I do have a little bit of housekeeping before we get through this. I did want to mention that Bozo won the Spanky's Quest Retro Rewind Champions.
Nice.
You're kind of racking him up. I don't know how many belts he has now.
Thanks. Yeah, this one I definitely use save states for, so I don't consider it too legit, but.
If we're all using same states, yeah, then we're all on the same page.
All the tools are available to everyone, so I don't count it against you. Or rewinds.
That's fair.
So I can't remember. I think it was Chris HL one time. He's like, I had to use rewind to play. I was like, dude, everyone has rewind. you're not cheating or anything. It's there. So, but yeah, Bozo wins. I think you grabbed a, I think I mentioned it in the show the other day. You grabbed a $10 PlayStation card. Did you buy anything interesting?
I bought Bomb Rush Cyberpunk.
Yeah. Finally.
There we go.
All this time later.
Fantastic game.
Well, I'm glad I was able to contribute to your purchase of Bomb Rush Cyberpunk. And to go along with that, we have the announcement of the new contest end game for this month and next month for Retro Rewind Champions. We're going to play Pokemon X and Y. And the contest this time around is a Pokedex challenge. We're going to see who can catch the most Pokemon in the time frame that we play the game. And unlike Spanky's Quest, this had a pretty large group of people sign up to play Pokemon, which I guess is because it's Pokemon. It's hard to say no. But it's kind of lit up my Discord channel. It's been a while since there's been that much conversation in that channel.
Yeah, I noticed that. So, it's a popular one.
Yeah, everyone's playing Pokemon. I think after we ran the voting and got a hold of what everyone has, and I think that X and Y was kind of the natural choice because everyone's trying to get used to the idea of having a sequel come in the Pokemon Legends. So I don't think everyone's wanting a replay. So it's fun. I'm enjoying it. The last thing I have on here is just the announcement that the next Zelda game for Becoming the Hero series is Four Swords and Four Swords Adventure, which I think it's going to be a lot of this group right here for that one as well. I think I have you down for that, Adam.
Not me.
I thought, was that not you?
I haven't played any of those.
Oh, I thought I had you on there.
Not for Four Swords.
Nope. I have you for Wind Waker.
Yeah, you would definitely have me for Wind Waker.
Not Four Swords. Okay. So no, I do. I have Shannon, Flighty, and looks like Maddie Beth. I guess I was looking at one down from that. Oh, well, that's all right. We'll get there.
How many people are signed up for Wind Waker?
Four. Well, I got three definites and one maybe, and the maybe didn't know how the sign up worked, so they just literally wrote maybe in there instead of their name. So I don't even know who it is. but that's Adam, Shannon, and then Presto signed up for Wind Waker. Kind of had some of them. I'm more surprised that we got as many people, and then some of them I'm like Phantom Hourglass. It's going to be like pulling teeth, get people talk about that game. Anyway, that's further down the line. We're going to do Four Swords Adventure next. And those games are pretty short, actually. I was looking at the... I almost played through Four Swords in a single sit-down because I think it's like 3 hours long. I grabbed the anniversary edition that's on the... I think it released on the DSi. And then later went to 3DS when the 3DS came out. I think they moved a lot of DSi stuff over to 3DS. So those are probably the best places to play it if you don't have just a cartridge of Four Swords for Game Boy Advance. And then the Four Swords Adventure is stuck on the GameCube for life. I don't know what the GameCube did to Nintendo, but like, it's the worst punishment ever. All the games on it are just stuck there. We'll get a $70 port of Four Swords Adventures at some point. We can look forward to. But that's all I got for quick housekeeping. We can go ahead and start talking about Spanky's Quest. We'll do experiences. I don't know if any of you guys had like any childhood or prior experiences other than playing here recently, but Sam, you can go first.
Yeah, so I actually just sort of happened to pick this game up like a couple months before it hit NSO. And so that's sort of my most memorable experience, is being like the one person who knew what this game was when that announcement came.
I remember.
And was actually like really excited to see it. Of course, it also, you know, disappointed me a bit because people had the predictable reaction of, you know, this isn't Chrono Trigger. Why are we getting Spanky's Quest? Oh, they're really, you know, scraping the bottom of the barrel, and they're, you know, whatever, because everybody has the one game they think needs to come to NSO and everything else is a disappointment to them. From that point on, I've been encouraging people to try it because it's readily available. And, you know, I won't say that it's, you know, the greatest Super Nintendo game ever, but I think it's worth a play. I really enjoyed it, even before that point. So it just, yeah, unique and not going to blow you away, but it's definitely fun start to finish.
It's definitely like it has that arcade feel to it that just how its construction is, its level design.
Yeah, it's very short levels. It actually, to me, feels like a single screen platformer, even though it's technically not. It does scroll.
Yeah.
Probably one of the best points of comparison, I think, would be something like Donkey Kong 94.
Yes. I mean, I guess there is some differences, like there's combat and stuff, but, that's a very good, comparison.
Right down to the monkeys.
Yep. It's got monkeys.
And all the keys too.
Yeah. Keys.
And keys.
The only thing is though, is that in this game, the fruit try to kill you instead of being a collectible. Okay. Adam, how about you?
Well, this was my first time playing it. I had not played it before the challenge here. I think just the fact that it was, number one, you know, I tend to enjoy Natsume games. They tend to do some pretty unique stuff. So, you know, I've been a Harvest Moon fan for at least a couple decades. There's other games that they've put out that I really enjoyed. So that was a big selling point. And then, you know, Sam tends to have pretty refined taste when it comes to games. So that was another, you know, checkbox. So I was like, oh yeah, I'll give it a try. And then, you know, I kind of went into it blind and it took me a while to just kind of figure it out, because there's just some unique mechanics about it. You know, just bouncing the bubbles and upgrading the ultimate, you know, weapon, whatever sports equipment ends up coming out of your bubble at the end of your upgrade.
The basketball is the highest level one.
Yeah, and then, you know, the physics are interesting. It takes some getting used to, but once you get used to it, it's kind of an addictive game loop. So that kind of kept me going. And then also with the challenge being a score attack, it added another layer of trying to figure out, okay, like what gets you the higher score on any given level. Cause like you meant, the levels are short, pretty quick. But it became a matter of, okay, I could clear this level in like 15 seconds if I wanted to, but taking the time to explore the level sometimes multiple times to try to figure out, all right, how can I maximize my score on this one level? And so that added another layer of challenge to it. And, you know, I enjoyed it. It's got some silly boss fights, which is always a good time. The music is good. The animations are funny. It's just a fun, silly romp of a Super Nintendo game that you can beat in, you know, half of an afternoon. It's just fun.
The music's very jazzy. Like it's, I don't know. There's just something about it. It's very upbeat. Like,
yeah, it's
kind of really expected. It has its own style for sure, yeah. Too. I just wish there was maybe more of it, because ultimately there's only like six tracks.
Yeah, it's pretty limited as far as variation goes.
But like one per world, boss battle, title theme. That's like it.
Yep. All right, Bozo, you're next.
Yeah, this was my first time as well playing through the game. I'd maybe heard of it once before, but I didn't know anything about the way it controlled or anything to expect. So, yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. I really enjoyed it. I too was sold on the fact that it was arcadey and it was very high score oriented. But yeah, the whole bouncing the ball mechanic was really got its teeth in me. So I think it lent itself really well to the format of the competition too, because I mean, like Dr. Rock was saying, you could play it like in a way to get to the end of the levels, but really the fun of it is finding the way to chain those high scores.
Yep.
And when you're in a collaborative or I guess competitive situation like this with other people, it really gets to highlight that. And that was really cool. But yeah, I liked it a lot. I think the live system held it back a bit, but I guess that's kind of par for the course for a game of this era that's arcadey.
Yep.
So I can't ding it too much for that, but yeah, it was fun.
I mean, the good thing about it being it's on NSO, so you can kind of negate a lot of that stuff, save states and rewind, and so.
Well, the interesting thing is the game's kind of forgiving, in that when you lose a life, you actually don't restart the level.
Yes.
Just pick right back up. So it's almost like a health bar more than anything. And you can password to any, I think to any level, as well, but you will only have two lives. So I could see how it could be hard, especially if you haven't actually got there the long way, doing like the boss gauntlet at the end, because that is technically one level. And doing that with only two lives could be difficult, but
yeah.
Other than that, the game is not terribly difficult to just beat.
Yeah, for sure. If you just wanted to get to the end, it's definitely doable.
But this one, I think seeing Sam pick it up was the first time that I ever even heard of it. And then we got it on NSO and I never played it. I didn't even play it whenever it first came to NSO. And then they had I didn't know that there was two versions of the game. There's also a Game Boy game. And I did end up buying that from Limited Run, but I haven't even played it. I still have it sealed, sitting at my shelf there. And then whenever this got selected to be played as the next game, I was like, well, I guess I'll play it finally. It's been talked about in the Discord for quite a while. It's finally time to sit down and play it. It's definitely unique. I can't think of any other games that use that kind of mechanic to attack enemies with. And like, to the point where it's obscure. Like, we were having people in the Discord that were kind of struggling with understanding how it worked. Even I was kind of surprised that I wasn't expecting that.
I think ultimately it forces you to a very deliberate pace as well, which I actually really like in games. I think that's something you almost see more of in retro games a lot of the time. Like, I feel like so many modern games are very much about reaction. And it's not always a bad thing, you know, like, I think it's ultimately for the better that, you know, we play platformers today like Mario, where you can adjust your trajectory of your jump after jumping. It's not all like, you know, Ghosts and Goblins, where like you jump and that's just it. Once you hit the button, you're going to land where you're going to land and you're going to die probably. But the fact is, like, your attack is not really instantaneous. So you have to kind of keep that bubble bouncing and have it ready for when the enemies enter the path you want them to enter.
Yeah. Definitely forces.
I really kind of appreciate that kind of, yeah. You want to think a couple seconds ahead, which is, I think, more interesting.
Oh, and the fact that every attack is a little bit different. So it gives you strategy to try to figure out which attack works best for which enemies. Like, just going to the highest level attack isn't always the best answer for what you have in front of you.
Well, and especially the bosses, usually it's a matter of knowing when to just abandon your bubble to get out of the way.
Yep. Yeah, there's definitely more to it. You know, we probably make it sound more simple than it is until someone actually gets their hands on it, but there's definitely some tight spots.
It's because of that, though, it's not a very fast-paced game.
No.
But it still almost feels like it is at points, because you're like, oh, no, I don't have enough time to, you know, bounce my bubble twice.
Yeah. So, well, and like we said, it depends on how you're playing, like we mentioned earlier. If you're playing to try to get the high score, then yes, it's a very, you know, cautionary game almost, like where you have to think about what you're doing beforehand. But if you're just trying to blaze through the game and beat the game, I mean, you can use the first attack and take out most things and just fly through the level. There's usually like three or four enemies and it doesn't take very long to get the keys. But if you're trying to chain attacks and get the high score, you gotta think about enemy placement, and there's all kinds of things that they go into. It could be as complicated or as simple as you want, which is something that I miss a lot of times, because you don't really get a lot of that option with newer games. I don't feel like it's either the most complicated thing you've ever seen, or it's, you know, a simple game that won't hold your attention very long. But it was definitely a fun game that I wasn't expecting to be as fun and drawing as it was to me. Like, I sat down and I played, and I think I played through the first three or four worlds just in the first sitting, just playing through it. It doesn't take super long to get through them, but still there's, I mean, I played it for longer than I played Mario vs. Donkey Kong when I picked that up for the here recently.
Yeah, I was kind of honestly expecting it to be just a lot of those, you know, a lot of the 16-bit platformers are just so basic that they tend toward boring at this point. But the mechanics in Spanky's Quest are so unique that it doesn't feel boring to play through. You're not just like, well, let me hop over this pit and, you know, either kill or avoid these enemies. Like, there's a lot more planning and strategy involved, because you can't just, you know, jump on the enemy's head or, you know, shoot a projectile straight ahead. You know, it definitely takes some planning and an understanding of the physics of what you're doing with the bubbles and the, you know, when exactly. The timing is everything. It comes down to the timing of when you pop the bubble to release, you know, whatever ball is gonna come out. And, you know, they kind of do different things when the bubble pops. So you can choose to upgrade it or not, depending on what you want it to do. And that's a lot more, you know, a lot more depth than just, you know, running through a level, avoiding traps and pitfalls and taking out whatever enemies you have to just to get to the end of the level. So that it's more than that. I'd probably call it a puzzle platformer, but that would be, you know, I don't want to be too reductive about it either. It's kind of its own thing.
Yeah, I kind of feel like Sam really hit it with the comparison to Donkey Kong 94. Like, this game could probably almost be cited as a heavy influence for that game, since this game came out previously. Like, the key system, like trying to make your way through it, the puzzle kind of aspect to it. Sometimes the keys aren't so easy to get a hold of. I do like how they made it to where you can use the bubbles to get items. Like, that was definitely a nice touch.
Yeah, I didn't there's even definitely realize
some scenarios. Actually, even it, capturing an item with a bubble will even instantly upgrade it to the max.
Yes,
as well.
Yep. Well, and the fact that it would just bring the item to you, you know.
Yep.
That was nice. Like, I was kind of, when the first time that I seen it happen, I was like, oh man, that's like an instantly invaluable.
It brings skill. The keys to you. I don't think it brings coins or 1-up coins to you.
No. Yeah. But I mean, honestly,
I think it brings the keys to you by necessity, because otherwise you'd soft lock yourself.
Yes.
I think they just didn't want that to be a possibility.
Yeah. But that was nice. If there was ever like a situation where the key was kind of harder to get to, it's like, just throw a bubble over there.
Or hats. You can get hats with bubbles too.
Yes.
Another part of the strategy with the bubble bouncing is the fact that it stuns the enemies too in place before you pop it.
Yeah, so you can kind of group them.
So that's another, so like you another line layer up on max, top of all that.
The max number of KOs with one ball.
Yeah.
All right. I think we've talked about experiences. We've definitely been getting into the gameplay aspects. So we're going to go ahead and move into the game discussion. Start with the overview here. This game released in Japan on the 27th of December 91. North America would get it in July of 92, and Europe would just get less information as we go down. Europe would get it in 92. It didn't have a date exactly.
Not sure why this would be a game that would take a long time to localize, but
no, definitely not. There's
not a lot of like text or anything.
No. This game's developed by Natsume, as we kind of already talked about. Not strangely, there wasn't a whole lot about the development of this game. It's kind of pretty low key as far as people talking about it. So I don't think there's been a whole lot dug out from it. And I just kind of wanted to throw one more mention that the Game Boy game also exists, but is different than the Super Nintendo game. So they're not.
It was developed by a different team.
Yeah. Still focuses on the same character, and there's some similarities. But I think, like, the level completion is different. It's not key-based. It's enemy-based. Like, once you defeat all the enemies, you move on instead of collecting keys. So there's definitely some minor differences. But I also kind of find it weird that we didn't get that one for the Game Boy app. I think they would have just, like, thrown it on there. You already went and sourced out the license to get the Super Nintendo one. You think those two would kind of go together?
Yeah, we need some more of that era Natsume stuff on those apps.
Yeah.
Get Amazing Penguin on there. Get Tailgater on there.
Yep.
I'm telling you, they had their own little vibe going.
Yeah, they like developing games that are around cute little animals. With fun gameplay. It's kind of like their thing.
But yeah, they're usually pretty unique gameplay, usually kind of a little bit bigger sprites, a little bit more deliberate pacing, I think, in all of the.
I have the story as well for this huge story that is Spanky's Quest. I pulled it from the manual, copied it. Does anyone want to read this that will breathe more life into it than I will?
I can try to put some chutzpah behind it.
Some character.
Let me see. I don't know how much character I have left in me at this hour, but let's see here. Spanky the monkey was going on a picnic. As Spanky was happily walking in the forest of Mappo Land, out of nowhere, bricks came falling down from the sky, building a wall that reached to the clouds. At the same time, bricks were falling everywhere in the cities, in the mountains, and in the forests, forming huge towers. Spanky, who was trapped in one of the dark towers, was stunned. And from above, he heard a strange voice. "Ha ha ha ha! What do you think of my beautiful home?" At this moment, the tower lit up, and the bearer of the strange voice appeared. Spanky looked up and saw a witch wearing a black robe riding on a broom. A nasty-looking crow was perched on her shoulder. "I'm Morticia from the World of Darkness. I've come to bring darkness into your world." "Let me out of here," screamed Spanky. "No way. Why should I let my new playmate go? You'll play tag with my crow. There are 6 towers that I built. If you defeat the guard on top of the tower, the door to the next tower will open. If you make it to the last tower without the crow catching you, I might set you free. Will you really let me go? Ha ha ha! You will only know if you come. But first, let me make you some playmates to play with. Here." From the witch's finger, a spell was cast on Spanky's knapsack. All the fruits that were in his knapsack rolled out, shook around a bit, and started growing arms and legs. "It looks like the fruits have taken a great liking to you. They tell me they like you so much, they want to gobble you up." Ha ha ha! With these words, the witch and the crow fly away. But wait, what's this? A strange-looking ball had fallen from the witch's pocket. Spanky picked it up, and the ball started talking to him. I have escaped from the clutches of the evil Morticia. Swallow me, and I can help you defeat her. It all makes perfect sense when you read it out like that.
It does.
So glad I read that.
It's a great story.
Go for the ages.
The game makes so much more sense now. Wish I had read that ahead of time.
Well, now we know where all the fruits came from.
Add that to the Spanky's Quest wiki.
Yes. The I like how the ball talks.
Everything talks.
Yes.
I'm surprised the bricks don't talk.
Yeah. The real question is, are these bricks made of like sacrificed toads? Like in Mario. sacrifice fruits. Oh man. No, that's kind of what we normally expect from these older games when we read the stories. There's always something funny. I feel like even with the lack of, you know, large, you know, expanding games, the stories are usually even funnier and a lot of times better than what we get now, it seems like. We can talk a little bit about the gameplay since we've already been talking about it a little bit. But do any of you guys remember the order in which the attacks come in? Like, what's the balls?
First one's a baseball. No bounce, right? Is the baseball, which it just falls straight down. It's very small hitbox. One bounce is the soccer balls, which falls in like a trail. So it's kind of a more lingering effect, easier to hit things with. And they're bigger, of course. Two bounces is the volleyball, which upon colliding will sort of spiral outward. It's basically like effectively like an explosion effect. But it stays on the screen the longest, which is probably its best trait. And three is the basketballs, which spread outward horizontally, and then fall down. So they'll usually hit just about everything on the screen.
They're kind of like an umbrella.
Yeah.
Yeah, they clear quite a bit if you can get it to bounce.
Yeah, if you can pop it at the top of the screen, it will pretty much clear the screen.
Nice. I was trying to remember. I remembered the baseball and I remembered the basketball, but I couldn't remember which one came first between the volleyball and the soccer ball. And then as we mentioned, there all the enemies are fruits of some kind. They all had some names. I didn't put the individual enemies' names in. I should have probably, but I did grab all the bosses' names because I thought they were pretty cool. And another thing of note too, whenever you can tell how many bounces you've done, not only by the size but by the color, like it's color coded as well. Which is pretty nice. And I think it was Chris that was in the Discord. Like, I don't think he was getting the grasp that you have to hit A at a certain time to pop the bubble to make the attack work. I think he was just trying to attack the enemies with the bubble itself. But that just stuns them.
Which, as we mentioned, that does stun them. But yes. Yeah,
but it does not take care of any of them.
Impossible to go forward.
Yeah.
Past some enemies.
And I think he finally got the hang of it, but I think that was his main hang up whenever we first started playing it.
It sure takes some getting used to. I don't think I really, really fully grasped how to do everything until like the third world. It took some time. I didn't look anything.
There
up.
Is
I
a bit of
in blind.
There is a bit of physics to how the ball bounces, right? I mean, it's if you've played a lot of games. I mean, if you played things like Pong, right? I mean, you kind of yep. understand, like hit it on the one side to sort of bounce it forward. But you want to get good at that so that you can take it where you need it to be.
Right.
And even use that momentum to, you know, bounce it so that it's actually going forward, or just stall it and keep it just going up and down in the same spot until something moves into your line of sight.
Right.
And we talked about the, there's 5 worlds in total, and they all have 10 levels, and each one is, you know, fairly different. I thought they did a pretty good job with level design on this game. Just the different things that get introduced, level design wise, as you're going from world to world. One of the weirder ones I remember, because you don't come across it ever until that point, but I think there's one level in world 3 that doesn't have a bottom, like, or top to it. So you just, it continually goes and goes and goes.
Yeah. There are no bottomless pits. It always scrolls. It's yes. one of the things that makes me think of single screen.
Yes.
Games, like, because it always just, you always just fall down the top of the stage.
Yep.
You always just periodic boundary.
Yeah, and there's one, because I think in that same level that I'm thinking of, the crow is in there. And I was like trying to figure out how to get over to a key on the right hand side, but I'm just falling, you know, eternally on the left side. I finally figured out, like, I was like, oh yeah, I can just send a bubble over to grab the key as I'm falling, like from one of the side platforms. I finally just kind of cheesed it that way, got the key and got out of there.
Yeah. There's a couple levels that I don't know if that is the only way to do it, but it seemed like the only way possible was to bubble through the wall to collect the key.
Yeah.
I think there's at least one, but it is worth noting that most levels actually have more keys than you need to exit.
Right.
Yes. And also, is there a way to defeat the crow? I think it's invulnerable, right?
That's the time limit. He's effectively the time limit. It's like the ghost in Spelunky.
Yeah, okay, that's right.
Yeah, those crows are quite antagonistic.
Yeah, they're hard yeah, to they, avoid. If they, you, yeah, it's pretty much... I don't know how you would get past them without save states. You can kind of cheese it with save states and predict where they're, or not predict, but, you know, kind of memorize what their movement's going to be and then back it up and avoid them that way. But if you're playing without save states, it's like, if you've taken too long yeah. and that crow comes out, then you're pretty much toast, unless you're real close to the exit.
Well, if you do just lose the life, though, he goes away. It sort of resets
right,
the timer.
You're going to lose a life, but...
Yeah, it doesn't help that Spanky's hurt boxes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You usually don't have a ton of room to work with. And
the only saving grace there is that does go both ways. Like, enemy hurt boxes are huge too. You do not have. You just need to be in the ballpark, pun intended.
Yep.
Yeah. Seems
of that
generous.
Enemy.
Mm-hmm. And I guess it would help with the ball bouncing as well.
Yeah. Be able to make contact with it. I do know that. Even using rewind, like, I tried to escape the crow a few times using rewind. I was like, yeah, this is not working. Like, he keeps changing his path as I'm learning where he's going to go. He changes where he's, cause he's just kind of,
falling. I mean, he pretty much just chases you.
Yeah. So like I've rewind, I was like, well, I'm going to try to squeeze through this one spot before he gets over there. And then, you know, try to work it out. But eventually I just lose a life, chalk it up as a try again. I know where all the keys are at this time type situation. But yeah, the first time he comes out, I was like, I've never seen this enemy before. It's like, he's not a fruit. There was definitely some different enemy types. Like I do enjoy the enemies. And
the Kiwis are terrifying.
Yes.
Those are the things you don't want to mess with.
Yeah, those are nightmares.
Come charging at you.
Yeah, they're pretty quick.
And we kind of talked a little bit about, but yeah, the sprite work is awesome in this game.
Yeah.
Everything's so big and chunky and everything's really good looking. Like, just a good, clean 16-bit game.
It's a pretty good variety.
On CRT.
Pretty good variety of enemies for as short as the game is, too.
Yeah.
And there's what, like, probably like 10 different
types? I was going to say probably 10 or 12 different types of enemies.
Like, there's the oranges are like the most basic.
Yep.
The lemons, strawberries, apples, kiwis. What am I forgetting? It's like the
banana.
What are those other things? Like chestnuts?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's not a fruit.
You're making me hungry.
Is it?
Maybe kiwi.
Oh no, there's definitely a kiwi. That's the one we just heard.
Yeah. Well, they also sort of look like the bird kiwis. It's just a intentional
pun. And then each world is there's a boss at the end, and they're all like gigantic fruit boss sprites that are like, again, awesome.
Yeah, those boss battles are fun.
Yes, that's, to me, it's like you endure the level to get to the boss battle, because the boss battle is where the real fun begins.
Yeah, it kind of brought back memories of like Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah,
level, like, you know, that kind of size and the scope of the boss battle. Really fun.
I will say they have a lot more health than I was expecting them to have.
Yeah, and there's no health. There's no real health bar or way.
There's no health bar, but man, you could just.
How close you are.
It was unclear to me too if like the different attacks do different amounts of damage to them, as well.
It seemed like.
I feel like they do, but I can't prove it.
Right. Yeah, it felt that way. It definitely felt that way. So you have to assume.
And I was wondering if the volleyball attack also like did double damage if you landed it. Because it would hit the boss for the first initial volleyball, yeah. But then as it would continue to expand out on that lingering hitbox,
it definitely keeps them in hitstun. I think it locked them again. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's useful for that reason, if nothing else, because it gives you plenty of time to reposition.
Yeah. So the world one boss is Applejack. World two is Pineapple Punch. World 3 is Wacky Watermelon. World 4 is Pretty Peach. And World 5 is Gilbert Grape.
Gilbert Grape.
And then, yes, Gilbert Grape, of course. And then the final boss is the witch and her raven. And that one's a little bit different. It has like some different, has multiple phases and
yeah,
a little bit more difficult than the rest.
That one got me.
It comes after rebattling each boss.
Yeah,
you have to do the boss.
You learn the other ones.
I was like, am I even doing damage here? Like the final, it took it because there's a few stages, but they're all kind of the same. So it's like, how many times do I have to cycle through this? It's pretty.
Well, you have to beat the big witch, and then she's like shrinks.
Right, and you do that, like, back what, and forth. Three times?
And that's like her true state. I think it depends.
Right.
You have to hit the small one.
Which makes it harder to
then
hit.
Then she'll turn into the raven. And every time you take the raven out, you get another chance to hit the small one.
Yeah.
The small witch.
Overall, it was a good... like, it was a good change-up. Between bosses of like different things, but I think like it's the witch and the raven was probably the most unique out of them. Just those sprites, man, they're freaking awesome. They take up like half the screen almost of the time.
Really
like
cool.
Really good looking stuff. We can talk a little bit about the music. I know we talked. We like the music. Did you guys have any like particular world tracks that really stood out to you, or?
I think
just felt like it was always punchy.
I think that title screen, that tells you what you're in for, you know.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Music is the only track that I can like pick out and remember. The rest of the music was good, but it wasn't necessarily particularly memorable. Definitely fit the game, and you know, a lot of times with some of these older games, I just kind of want to turn the volume down because it tends to get really repetitive.
Especially with one song per world. There's 10 levels in there, you're just getting 10 levels of that same music.
Yeah, because
it could have handled some variety.
I don't know if it's better or worse for me, kind of being more of a music fan and a musician, but like repetitive, like I have to turn the sound off when I play like Suika game, like the watermelon puzzle game. It's just like,
yeah.
Oh my God, it's so repetitive. It's just like, no, turn it off.
Well, it's
like,
one song.
Turn it off. but yeah, I never felt that way with Spanky, just even with it essentially being the same song for all the levels in that world that you're playing. It's definitely good enough to keep it fresh. And yeah, pretty funky, pretty jazzy. I really like the music. Nothing's like super standout, like, oh, this track is amazing, like I want to, you know, listen to it outside of the context of the game. But it's
you really didn't download good. The Spanky's Quest soundtrack?
No.
You're not playing it in your car while you're driving?
There's some game soundtracks that are good enough for me to to in the car or whatever, but this is not necessarily one of them. But it's still good. Sometimes it's like, it's great in the context of the game. Rarely for me do I want to listen to game soundtracks outside of the game, but this one's really good.
All right. Is there anything I'm missing? Did we not? We
talk about the hats.
Oh, yeah, the hats.
The hats.
Another thing I had to figure out the hard way.
Yeah. Well, it's not obvious what all of them do. I think the first one you encounter is the top hat.
Yeah. Some of them, it's immediately evident what they're doing. And some of them, I still don't know.
So there's the top hat, which gets you a basketball bubble in one bounce while you're wearing it. There's the spiked hat, which I think protects you from enemies from above. It was a little bit finicky with how well that worked.
Except for the crow.
Yeah, not the crow.
Nothing saves you from
the crow. Straw hat, which lets you glide by holding down the jump button.
Yep.
And the baseball cap effect, which gives your bubbles like a homing effect. They'll actually be drawn back towards you.
Oh, nice.
But you can do some like interesting things with that, knowing what it's going to do. But in general, it just makes it very easy to bounce your bubble.
Yeah.
It's not like perfect, but it's like a slight homing effect on the thing. I think that's all of them.
I can't think of any other ones that I encountered. I like how they're all unique. Yeah, the levers. Yeah.
Which is an interesting little mechanic. So that they control the traps in certain levels, like the little like crusher things or the monkey heads that spit fireballs.
Which again is very Donkey Kong-like.
Bird eggs that spit homing fireballs. And the interesting thing is those traps get deactivated if there's no enemy to stand by the lever and pull it. But it's also true that in some levels, you can actually take control of them. And they will actually take out enemies for you if they happen to walk into the path of those things. And you do get points for it, though it's usually not the best way to score the max number of points, because it's really hard to even tell, because you're usually killing enemies off screen.
Yeah, I forgot about the levers in the levels. That is very Donkey Kong-ish, like 94 in Mario vs. Donkey Kong. Like, there's a bunch of levers in that game that activate things, elevators and cannons and, you know, all the things.
There's also some like semi-hidden partial platforms that are like breakaway, but you don't really know it.
Yeah, they break when the bubble contacts them. That's yeah. That's where most of the bonus doors are.
Yeah, that's another thing I discovered entirely by accident.
Yeah, the bonus doors, I can't remember. Does that just take you to like a different part of the level, or is that a?
It's a little bonus game. There's a big bubble, and you have to bounce it a certain number of times.
Oh,
it's usually in a room that makes it a little harder, like there's conveyor belts or something on it.
Yeah.
And it gets like faster each bounce. But if you bounce it like, I think it's just like 7 times or something like that, you get a 1-up and some coins.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, the more that we talk about this, the more stuff is in this game than I remembered. Like, I was thinking we're going to struggle to have a very long episode talking about this game because it's very simple, but there's actually more things in here that I forgot about.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, on the surface, it really looks like it's going to be one of those just kind of really vanilla side-scroller experiences, and I was pleasantly surprised that it wasn't like that at all. It was a lot more interesting to play than I thought. Because like I just kind of have a short attention span. A game's really got to interest me. Like, I don't just slog through a game if I'm not enjoying myself. So the fact that I played it through to completion speaks to, like, yeah, it's got enough interesting things going on and enough interesting mechanics that it's not, you know, that's my issue with a lot of these older games, even NES games that I've played a bunch and I really truly love, that they can just be so simplistic that it's not even that enjoyable to play anymore. But this wasn't like that at all. It's interesting to play start to finish. And that yeah. was well, definitely
and I think
it,
a lot of that too is it being unique enough, right? Like, yeah, you don't exactly. want to pick up some other random platformer and be like, why am I not just playing Mario?
Right. Exactly right.
I can't even think of another kind of platformer that has a mechanic like the ball bouncing.
No, I can't either. Definitely a unique puzzle platformer.
Yeah, and so much of my enjoyment with it on that note came from like the challenge of the chaining the scores. Like, I can't get over how interesting that was, because a lot of games I feel like from that era are kind of holdovers from the arcade where they have high score systems, but it's just kind of there because it's a video game and that's what video games do. Yep. Right. But I think here in Spanky's Quest, it actually like, it gives a good reason to have a high score system with this chaining system in place. And I think if I was remaking this game for like, if it was going to be released today, I think I would probably just do away with the live system entirely so that progression is not a function of survival more so as it is like a function of actually getting like a high score, I think would be an interesting way to go about it. But,
or maybe if it offered two different modes.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Well, that's ultimately, I think, how the game's structured anyway. Cause again, like, because of the passwords, you effectively have infinite continues.
Yeah.
It's just you have to go through the trouble of entering the password.
Mm-hmm.
We all know about passwords, how much we like those. At least the passwords
from
this
what I
game
remember,
were
these
like
are pretty
super
simple.
Obscure. Yeah.
Last time I just used, you know, my save state. I didn't save any passwords, but when I bought it on Super Nintendo, I remember putting in the password. I'm pretty sure it's like 5 characters. It's not some like Phantom 2040 with like a 50 character password or whatever.
Yeah. There's lots of those old games like that. I don't know how many games, like when I buy a game and I get the manual and like somebody's wrote down a billion passwords in there from like stuff. And here's a 25 digit password. I have no idea, you know, where this is going to take me, but it's wrote down in there. So I can see where it goes.
Usually with very poor penmanship, so you can't really tell what the password says anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because how many of us had great penmanship at age 7?
And I still don't, so
Yeah, me neither. Chicken scratch. Yeah, that's one thing that I'm glad that we don't deal with today is passwords. Glad we're done.
But like Bozo was saying, I think this is an example of a game that actually is enhanced by having a score system.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of games, I think, from like the NES into early Super Nintendo era that just tacked it on because it's what Mario. You did at the time. Like Mega Man 1. Mega Man 1 has a score system for some reason. And to the most annoying level, too, because the clear bonus is randomized per stage. Like, it just doesn't even make sense.
That's what I'm saying. What's the point of having a score in Mario 1?
Mario 1 is interesting, though. Because there is an interesting balance between gathering coins and clearing on time, because time is added to your score. Mm-hmm. I feel like score chasing in Mario Super Mario Bros. Could actually be pretty interesting. I've never done it.
Yeah, but there's no real value to it to the game.
No.
Whereas I feel with Spankies, at least you have bragging rights. If you're having the high score in that game, Mario seems pretty random.
We all know that's what makes you cool, right? Having a high score.
That's right. Spanky's high score. Yes. In our community, you're the coolest if you have the highest score.
Well, that's Bozo. He has the highest score.
He's the champion.
At least giving it some monetary value, so there's that.
Yeah. There's no Retro Rewind champions for Mario 1. You're not getting paid for that one.
I'm just over here putting on my 8-bit sunglasses.
Yeah, nice.
We need to get a Retrologic championship belt.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Make that emote in the Discord.
Yeah, there we go. We could do that for sure. We could do that and then like... Or actually, we ought to just make like a special role for the Retro Rewind champion each month. He just have his own role. I think we've exhausted Spanky's quest. I think. Is there any? I'll let you guys have a last word on it, and we'll get out of here because it's getting late. I'm tired. That's what happens when you get old.
I think this podcast is longer than it takes to beat the game.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting close. Speedrunners have already beaten this game 3 times.
Oh, for sure.
Sam, you can go first. We'll do final words and you can talk about anything you want to talk about.
It's on NSO. Give Spanky a chance.
Help Spanky finish his quest.
Give Spanky a chance.
It's kind of an odd reading the story, just really quickly, reading the story of how it happens and like how he doesn't really have a choice in the matter. It's not really a quest. Like he's not, I guess he's questing to live or be free. I always think of a quest of like, you're going on an adventure, you know,
it's more like a fight for survival.
Yeah. It's like, he basically just got put in prison, like without, you know, should have been like Spanky's revenge or something.
Actually, the witch is threatening to have the fruit eat him. So he's literally like,
yeah, he's fighting for his life. He's
literally being hunted.
Fruit.
This could be a weird twist of things where the fruit are getting the revenge because he's been eating the fruit this whole time.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe Spanky's the bad guy in this game.
I kind of just didn't know a little bit of that, where a lot of games, you know, Pac-Man, whatnot, you're eating a lot of fruit. And so in this one, the fruit is trying to eat you.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was part of the, you know, the irony wasn't lost on the developers, I think.
No, it was on all the kids that played this game when it released.
Yeah, what was also lost was the fact that it's a monkey named Spanky.
Yes.
Which is peak 90s humor.
I love it. Adam, you can go next.
Oh, final words. I mean, yeah, what do you have to lose? It's on NSO. It's really fun. Take the time to, you know, learn the mechanics, and I think you'll be hooked. I really don't have anything else really more to say about it. It surprised me yet again. Don't want to sound like a broken record, but coming back, you know, I can see myself playing through it again. If I had the time and Unicorn Overlord hadn't come out, I probably would have played through it again to see if I could improve my score. But yeah, it's definitely worth the playthrough all the way through to the end. It's a fun little game. And like, it's fun enough that I could see myself. And I think I mentioned it before we started recording, but, you know, in a kind of hilarious coincidence, I went out to one of my local retro game stores today, and they did have a copy of Spanky's Quest, which I've never seen in the wild before. so yeah, I could, even though it is an NSO, that this is one that I would pick up for the right price and add to the physical collection. It's that good.
It's kind of like Plock. You don't really see it a whole lot, but you know it exists.
Yeah, it's not like super rare, and it's not like terribly expensive, but it's one that you don't see all the time.
And Plock is still going up in value.
That's probably,
I feel like every time I check it,
market alone.
That's right, yeah.
Well, and all the other, you know, Plocktober, all of the communities that celebrate and observe Plocktober, and the
all of our Plock comrades.
Yes.
Yep. The Plock economy. We'll call it Plockflation.
Do you want to quickly talk about Retro Groove, or
I'm sure anyone that listens to this is tired of me talking about Retro Groove.
You can, yeah, that's fine. That's why I asked.
You know, buddy Liam and I, LPD himself, we started a little spinoff of Retro Logic called Retro Groove. We talk about music and our favorite bands and musicians and albums, and it's kind of turned into a long-standing thing. We're coming kind of quickly here to the end of our third annual season. So it's been a long-standing thing. We release episodes every couple weeks, bi-weekly basis. And yeah, Retro Groove is a fun time if you're a music fan, and or just, you know, like hearing two music nerds geek out on their favorite musicians, or learning about you know, artists that they didn't know much about beforehand. And it's a fun time. So check it out. We're in the Retro Logic Discord too, so we're right there. Can't miss us.
Yes, go check them out. And if I didn't ask, there's that one person that doesn't normally listen to this that would have been like, "Man, where does Adam come from? How did we know him?"
Nepotism.
Yeah, you know, that person who tuned in just for Spanky's Quest, right?
Yes, that's right.
A person specifically searching for a Spanky's Quest podcast and found it randomly.
Well, and you know, Sam, what? If you are that person, please join our Discord. I want to meet you.
You have a home here for sure.
Sam would be the guy that signed up for like a Patreon show where like he just wanted to talk about Spanky's Quest. So he like paid for it to happen. Yes. That would be Sam.
I mean, it would probably be Plock or Adama first. But.
Yeah. You should do it, man. You should get on Retronauts and say, "Man, I'm here to talk Plock, okay? We're going to Plock it out." Yeah, Plock talk. I'll totally take it over.
Oh, wait. Yep. I got the Plock shirt on right now.
Oh, he's wearing the Plock shirt right now.
It was hiding under
my Mario Kart. It's been diddled again.
Wow.
Okay. Bozo, how about you? One more thing to say.
Well, yeah, I think this is definitely worthy of the hidden gem title. Like, this is definitely not like a filler kind of deal on NSO. Don't overlook this one, especially if you're interested in killing a couple hours and learning a a puzzle platformer with a unique 2D mechanic that I haven't seen in any game before or since. Yeah, it's just a great little time, and I'm glad I played it for the first time. And yeah, here's hoping for a remaster at some or point in the sequel. Future.
Spanky's Revenge. Spanky's
Quest. More spankings.
Spanky's Conquest.
Spanky.
Just don't call it Spanky Revenge. Kong's Quest.
Spanky Kong. yeah, they might not like that too much. Might have some Nintendo ninjas at your house for that one.
Or Spanky's Conquest.
Yes.
As I very recently learned, is the subtitle of Donkey Kong Country 2.
Well, I think that one gets talked about all the time. Do you know the subtitle to Donkey Kong 3?
Dixie's Double Trouble.
Yeah, Double Trouble. But, like, no one ever talks about that one.
Oh.
Well, that one's not a tongue twister.
Yeah.
Or
that one doesn't have a Mandela effect of thinking that it's Diddy Kong's Quest.
Kong's
Quest. Yes.
Well, it's a pun, like
Dixie
right?
Doubles Trouble or something.
Diddy's Kong Quest.
Because it is Diddy Kong's quest, but Diddy is also conquering foreign lands.
All the Kremlins.
I love how this lovely discussion about Spanky's quest has devolved into... Hey,
we have to talk about the other monkey.
They're related, yeah. It's monkey games. They all fit in the same.
Monkey games.
Diddy's Kong quest.
That's what we need is a Diddy Kong Spanky quest. Diddy Kong and Spanky crossover.
There we go.
Yeah.
Someone put Spanky in Smash Bros. You know what? Just put Spanky in Smash Bros. He deserves it.
Spit Spanky bubbles deserves around. It. Yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, where's all those people that I mean, we got Sora now, so all those people can quiet down. So now we need the people that are pushing for Spanky to
or Plock.
To uproar exactly. Or Plock.
Get Plock or in there.
Put them,
there are dozens of us.
They both need to go together and they can tag team and smash.
Look, I'm just going to say it. Spanky's Quest is my favorite sports game. The way that Portal is my favorite first-person shooter.
Oof.
I will say that I feel Spanky's Quest is very... I put it in the same category of NSO games like Eliminator Boat Duel where everybody poo-pooed on us getting some game that they had no tie to
until they
play. And when you play it, it's actually awesome.
Yep.
Yes.
See, and the problem is people just don't play it. If they just played it, they would know better. You know, it's Eliminator.
I mean, Boat I walked
a great example of that too. Vice Project Doom is another one.
I walked right into that game, not knowing anything about it. And then we were doing a contest. I think it was the Nintendo Dads. I think it was one of the contests they did over there. And I got paired. It was like a bracket contest. And they picked the NES game and you had to play versus against somebody else. And I'd never played the game before. And I did the contest, lost, and then immediately like started playing the game on my own afterwards. After the contest was over, I was like, This is a really good game.
Play,
like now I need to just play through this. but yes, Spanky's Quest, good game. Go play. I think we've rounded that out. The next show will include the Four Swords Adventure combination of games. We're going to talk both of them. It'll be very similar to the Oracle of Ages, Oracle of Seasons episode that we did. There's going to be a couple of these where I bundled some games because I felt like they either work together well or in this case are built off of each other. So like Four Swords was kind of like just a mini idea placed into the GBA cartridge for Link to the Past. And then it went over so well that they were like, hey, we're just going to make a whole nother GameCube game, same format, let's do it. So those are lumped, but it's going to be a good show. That's a really fun game, and I really wish Nintendo would go back and give us a way to play Four Swords Adventure online, like current day. Like, I think that would be where it's at. But that's it for this show. Thanks for listening to On Topic Retro. It's part of the RetroLogic family of podcasts. If you'd like to send your personal experiences in for the next show, but you're not a part of our Discord, you can send them to ontopicretro@gmail.com. If you haven't joined our wonderful non-toxic RetroLogic Discord and you'd like to, you can visit RetroLogic.games, which is now up again. It was down for a long time, but is back. We have a website again. And there are details there to join on how to join for free. There's also a link in the show description that I put in every episode on that gets you to our Discord, which is home to so many things. We, you know, they get started with video games, but it's expanded to so many other things: movies, music, food, dinosaurs, you name it. We probably have had a conversation about it at some point. And the best thing is that it's free. We don't charge you a dime to be a part of our Discord. We might take your sanity in exchange for access to, to our Discord because of all the random things that are going on, but it's a small price to pay to be in the best community on the internet. So yeah,
who needs sanity? Who needs that? Leave it at the door.
Like we lost ours a long time ago. Anyway, join the Discord. It's a fun place. And we'll see you on the next episode. Bye now.